Good morning and welcome to you all. If you're a visitor for the first time, we offer our hands in friendship. Today we have three services, and tea and coffee will be served in the Mayo Hall between our morning services. Pastoral news. Margaret Davis is in Tolworth Hospital, and Betty Irvin had surgery this week. Paper copies of church news are now available in the vestibule. You can also collect the new church handbook there, and you can receive it online as well by emailing Tony. And our thanks do go to Tony for collating all the information that goes into the church handbook. I've got a piece of paper again. It's about Christian Aid. You will be pleased to hear that the city was successfully circled by KURC's power walking team last Sunday afternoon. Its members strolled tornado-like. Right in due course. You will find documentary evidence on the Mayo Hall and foyer notice boards that they didn't in reality spend the whole afternoon in a pub inventing the whole saga. Sincere thanks go to the whole team. Georgina, Peter, Ray, Rosette and Vaughan for the support of those who supported them. In total, this came to more than £900 for Christian Aid. And I'd like to say what a joy it has been reporting on the planning and the final report, and I think that helped too. Thank you, Vaughan. And finally, I'd like to draw your attention to the fact that next Sunday we are hosting 12 members from the Presbyterian Church of Kingston throughout the day. What did I say? Oh, I did, didn't I? It was a K, you see. It's because I put K. Sorry. Rewind. From the Presbyterian Church of Korea. But in the evening, we'll be having a special service at 6 o'clock in All Saints Church, where we will be confirming 4 new members. Do come and support them on this very special occasion. Thank you.
From the psalmist. Sing a new song to the Lord. Sing to the Lord all the world. Sing to the Lord and praise God. Proclaim every day the good news that God has saved us. Proclaim God's glory to the nations, the mighty deeds to all peoples. The Lord is great and is highly to be praised. We join to sing, "To God be the glory." We join to pray. Let us pray. We come to worship. We come from near and far, drawn by you. Some of us have recently arrived. Some of us were born and bred here. Young and old, rich and poor, together here we are a community, together we are gathered as your people in this place. And you are God of each of us, the wisest and the most foolish. The richest, the poorest. The most articulate and the most fumbling in their speech. Those fluent in English and those who are only just beginning to speak it. You are our God, and you call us here, motivated by your love for us. We praise you for the abundance of the gift and the giving of your grace and love, your caring and your compassion. We thank you that your love touches us, holds us, heals us, changes us, moves us. Our hearts overflow with shouts and songs and tears of wonder. We are not worthy. But we come knowing that we are loved. And we are glad. Thanks be to you, our God. Amen. So we join to say the Lord's Prayer in our first language and in the way that helps us to pray it. So we say, Our Father. Daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So just before I hand over the microphone to Sally, I just want to tell you grown-ups, slow down. Slow down. These children are setting a great pace. You're leading on, galloping ahead. Slow down. These are powerful words. None of this. Here we go. Take your time. Right, Sally, would you like this mic? Would you like that mic? That's cool. I'll shut up and sit down.
Good morning. Let's have the children at the front, please. And can I just say, Matilda, do you want to sit here? And Ron can sit here. Barney. I was really pleased to hear you saying the Lord's Prayer today. We've been learning it for 7 weeks, and I could hear you praying it, so well done you. Right, now I have a question. How powerful is your voice? Can you shout? Are you always very quiet when you're at home? Are you telling fibs? Let me see how loud you can shout, and then we'll test the congregation, the adults. Can you shout out really, really loudly, hooray? Okay, 1, 2, 3. That was quite loud. Can the congregation, can the adults shout louder than that? To be fair, there is more of them than you. Let's see if they can shout out hooray on the count of three. 1, 2, 3.
Hooray!
Very good. Very good. Can you whisper? That's a bit more difficult, isn't it? Can you whisper hooray? 1, 2, 3. Oh, that's lovely. And that's how your parents want you to be all the time. Can the adults whisper? On the count of three, adults. 1, 2, 3. Right, now we've established you can whisper, I have a job for you. I'm going to choose a volunteer, Maddie. It's the joy of being my friend. I think, Dahi, you can be first. I want you to whisper something to Maddie, and we'll see if we can get her to do something, okay? I want you to whisper. Hey, it worked. Please stand up. Does anyone else want to have a go at whispering to my friend? Come on then, Esther. Okay. Very good. Please wave your hands in the air. I think you said, no one told you to sit down. Does anyone else want to whisper to my friend? Matilda. Come on, Matilda. Come on, Matilda. No? You're going to refuse to do it? She's going to refuse to do it. She doesn't want to do a tap dance. Maybe because she doesn't have her tap shoes today. Come and ask her to do something else. She'll do this. She did that one. She said hello to everybody. Now, children, listen. Today, you're going to have a story about a man who wanted to ask Jesus for something, but he thought Jesus would listen more if he sent someone else to ask for him. And I kind of thought Maddie might do it more if I got someone else to ask her rather than if I just asked her. And the good news is that God always listens to us, but we don't need to shout. But we do need to remember that sometimes, like when Matilda asked Maddie to do a tap dance, we won't always get what we ask for when we go to God. Okay? So that's your lesson for today, and I hope you enjoy the story. We're going to stand and sing Jesus' Hands Were Kind Hands, which hopefully you know. So everyone stand up, and we'll sing together.
Thank you. See you later. Have fun. Oops, a daisy. You never know when you might need an emergency monkey. So by the time of King Solomon, the 12 nomadic Hebrew tribes, 12-ish, had become a settled people governed by a king. Solomon has settled the Ark of the Covenant in the temple, which then becomes the focus of God on the earth, but also to be a place where others will come, the whole world, a symbol that the whole the world would be whole. Maddie Annalsark will read this passage to us.
The reading is from 1 Kings 8, and it's verses 22 to 23 and 41 to 43. Then, in the presence of the people, Solomon went and stood in front of the altar, where he raised his arms and prayed. Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth below. You keep your covenant with your people and show them your love when they live in wholehearted obedience to you. When a foreigner who lives in a distant land hears of your fame and of the great things you have done for your people and comes to worship you and to pray at this temple, listen to his prayer. In heaven where you live, hear him and do what he asks you to do, so that all the peoples of the world may know you and obey you, as your people Israel do. Then they will know that this temple I have built is the place where you are to be worshipped. Amen.
In the Gospel according to Luke, Jesus, the Word of God, is relevant for all humanity, both Jew and Gentile. That's one of his themes. It comes throughout his teaching. And here we have an outsider who comes to request for the help of Jesus, not only for himself, but for his slave. He comes bravely on behalf of somebody whose life in that society is completely worthless. Katie Frost will read this passage to us.
Jesus heals a Roman officer's servant. When Jesus had finished saying all these things to the people, he went to Capernaum. A Roman officer there had a servant who was very dear to him, and the man was sick and about to die. When the officer heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to ask him to come and heal his servant. They came to Jesus and begged him earnestly, "This man really deserves your help. He loves our people, and he himself built a synagogue for us." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the officer sent friends to tell him, "Sir, don't trouble yourself. I do not deserve to have you come into my house, neither do I consider myself worthy to come to you in person. Just give the order, and my servant will get well. I, too, am a man placed under the authority of superior officers, and I have soldiers under me. I order this one go, and he goes. I order that one come, and he comes. And I order my slave do this, and he does it." Jesus was surprised when he heard this. He turned round and said to the crowd following him, "I tell you, I have never found faith like this, not even in Israel. The messengers went back to the officer's house and found his servant well.
Can I ask a question? Have you all got a copy of the order of service? Because sometimes people get sneaking in and they don't get a copy. You all got a copy? And the quote on the top of the order of service isn't just hoid on there because I couldn't think of anything better to do and there was nothing on the telly. It's part of the whole thing. So it might be that on a Sunday, the word of God comes to you through nothing else except from this quote, not this quote particularly, but the quote that's there. It's another way of God being at work among us. So let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and you are our Redeemer. Amen. How sick are you of the referendum debate? Up there. I have yet to meet somebody who is enjoying it. It all seems negative, and lots of it is racist. And much that's being said on both sides is alarmist. And my feeling is often, how daft do you people think we are? And the issue of immigration or migration is a hot topic. And all the accusations and abuse do not make for morally acceptable choices or high quality debate. And high quality debate is what we need to have. It is true that Britain does not have the capacity to take in every refugee who needs help. That does not mean that we should not take in those that we can and do it in a spirit of humanity and a spirit of welcome. It is not the fault of refugees that services in the UK are stretched in certain places. Further, it is a worldwide phenomenon that people are moving into cities, and it is a major issue in Britain that it is so focused on the southeast of England. And it is not the fault of the refugee or economic migrant. They are, however, easier to blame. The stories today are both about words. The story in Luke contains two elements of declaration. First, there is the act of healing, that Jesus proves who Jesus is by the things that he can do. It declares who he is. Beyond our furthest imaginings, he heals the slave. He does it without meeting him. He does it without being in his company. The other element of declaration is how the centurion views him. He comes for his help. The centurion doesn't expect that Jesus would enter his home and thus contaminate himself. Just say the word, and it'll be sorted. Just speak it out, and it'll be done. That's my experience, says the centurion. Same is true for you. Just speak it, and it'll happen. And there is tremendous power in the words that we speak. They can destroy another human being. They can ruin their reputation. They can bully them to the point of suicide. The pernicious whisper. And we need to be cautious, because the scriptures make it very clear that this is the basis, part of the things upon which we will be judged. But also, what about the words that we say to ourselves and about ourselves? are people who believe in the power of the Word, capital W. He comes in the flesh to live among us. The Word was made flesh and moved into the neighborhood, to quote from the Message. The creation story has the spoken Word of God being the place where creation starts. So in our tradition, in our heritage, words and the Word are very important, and we need to take that in terms of our view of ourselves. You make a mistake. What do you call yourself? Do you speak to yourself less respectfully than you would speak to any other person? You drop a bottle. You idiot. You forget your papers. You moron. Would you say that to someone that you love? Are we not each of us precious children of God to be cherished and to be loved? Are each of us not the person that Jesus died for? Yes, of course we make mistakes, but that does not mean that we are worthless. So let's keep away from a habit of speaking badly to ourselves or about ourselves. The other feature in the story in Luke is that the person who causes all this kerfuffle is an outsider. The slave as an outsider. The person who does the dirtiest of work that no one else could be paid to do. They're not going to do it. We've got to bring in a slave to do it. The person that is at the bottom of the heap. And the passage from Kings has Solomon blessing the temple and then making sure that the people know that there is also a place for the foreigner. You could say that one of the ways that you judge the health of any society is how does it look after its weakest members? And that must include the foreigner and the refugee. So I spent this week, part of this week, at a tribunal where somebody was trying to persuade the British government that he actually is a genuine convert to Christianity. Remember the old joke? If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Would there be enough evidence to convict you? Well, I have to say that today in Britain, not only are your actions, but also your detailed knowledge of the faith is expected. Of course, you say. That's right, isn't it? So tell me, how many of the Beatitudes could you recite? And if I said to you, tell me about the Trinity, what would you say? So I came away ashamed of my country. Of course, not everybody can be allowed to live in this country. There is need for debate. But to have a conversation without it being reduced to people abusing those desperate people. Even if all the asylum applicants were in a hideous situation, they could not be all provided for by the United Kingdom. The debate, though, is more nuanced than all in or all out. Because much of Britain, oh, brothers and sisters who've never been out anywhere in the UK apart from the southeast, in much of Britain is empty. The population is shrinking. They need people to arrive. The social housing, sitting with nobody living in it. Hurling abuse at one side of this debate or the other is not right for the Christian. In the healing story, we have the occupying power needing a help from the member of an overrun race. Even more unlikely, his servant, his slave. The example of Jesus is for those who are outside. Martin Niemöller's words, which are on the top of the order of service, are well known. But there's a whole, this quote he uses more than once in a number of speeches. Let me quote something else. God didn't ask me where I was from 1937 to 1945. He asked me where I was from 1933 to 1937. From 1933 to 1937, I didn't have an answer. Maybe I should have said, I was a brave pastor of the Confessing Church in those years. I risked speaking critically and thus risked freedom and my life. But God didn't ask about all of that. God asked, where were you from 1933 to 1937 when human beings were being burnt here? Those weren't my Christian brothers who were burnt there. Those were communists, Jehovah's Witnesses, etc. That's why I didn't do anything. The language of these debates is vital. Dehumanizing someone, and I can easily abuse them. If I hear their story, I grow in empathy. And then we reach out, like Jesus did. Let us be still. Lord, may the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. The words that we speak and the words that we use of ourselves, may we remember that all are loved by you. All. And that includes us and the outsider. Lord, we pray. Amen. We join to sing, Am I My Brother's Keeper?
Thank you.
We join to pray. Let us pray. Lord our God, the elders came to Jesus asking for healing. So we come now to ask for healing. We hold up before you those who are ill, those who are frail, those who are burdened, those who are confused. Lord, we pray. Lord God, as the elders spoke out their request to Jesus, so we ask that you would help us in the speaking. We pray for those politicians involved in the debate around the referendum. That they would consider the long-term health of our country before they score short-term political points. And we hold up the whole issue of migration, the movement of desperate people who risk their lives because the situation for them is so terrible. We pray for wisdom for the politicians. Politicians with national responsibilities and with local responsibilities. We pray for resources. And we pray for respect in the debate. That people would be able to express honestly their anxiety and have the words to do so without being abusive of others. And that you would open our ears to be able to hear the anxiety. And that we would not get to a place in our country where people have thoughts and feelings that they do not feel able to express in words. So we pray for those who feel ignored and neglected, those who feel that their concerns and anxieties about their communities, their work, are being disrespected by the liberal consensus. And we pray for those who are refugees in a foreign land. And we pray for those who've never moved house and yet feel that their town now is a foreign land. We pray for those who struggle in the words that they use about themselves. Those who have difficulty in understanding that they are loved, liked, needed, and wanted. Pray for those who are coming to the end of their time on the earth. Pray for ourselves with the challenges that await us in the week. Lord our God, we offer these words, these thoughts, these ideas. We offer our heartfelt prayers, all in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said,
Amen.
And all God's people said,
Amen.
So let us continue our worship as we make our offering. Let us pray. Loving God, bless the life of this church. Bless the work that goes on in the building. Bless those who clean this building, those who manage it, those who lead the use of it. And may the money that we bring today, in part, be used for that work, which we believe to be the work of your kingdom. Bless the hours, bless the money, Lord, we pray. Amen. It's good to know we have such a fine tradition of always, 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 every Sunday, somebody's mobile phone goes off. It's like sort of, you know, it's one of those things that bind us together. The other thing to say about the order of service is have a look at the back page. For not only does this order of service contain within it the events of Kingston Knight Reformed Church, it also has events around the issue of Christianity more generally. Stuff that's going on in the media, stuff that's going on other places. Thanks to Sue Watts, who does this for us. We are grateful. Thank you. We join to sing our final hymn, which you will find to be Jesus Good Above All Other. Tell us what you've been up to. There's a mic. Not yet. Speak. No. No. You can use the gooseneck.
Well, I'll go up here. Oh, no. There we are. Brilliant. So, we had a story today from Hosanna. From the Bible, and we were talking about when we were ill and who helped us, and who helped us. Can you remember who helped us when we were ill?
Mum, Dad, sister, brothers, teachers, doctors, and God.
Yeah, so quite a lot of people can help us when we're ill. And then we've been making little people. We've been having fun with bandages. We've been running around and bandaging each other. And you may have laughed at Mr. Cuddly. Oh, but sorry. Mr. Cuddly has been really bandaged. I don't know if you can...
Oh, yeah.
So we did make use of Mr. Cuddly. And he wasn't feeling very well at all, but he's a lot better now. So,
hurrah!
So that's what we've been doing.
Thank you. Yay! So let us just stay where we are and we'll say a blessing. We Lord our God, have come to hear and to share your word, stories of healing and stories of worship. So we go out with the word of God in our hearts and on our lips. Thanks be to God. Amen.